into your son. I'm right, Lady Mason, am I not?
He was, in part. Lady Mason had indeed been opposed to the marriage of Samuel Dockwrath and soft, tender Miriam Usbeck. She believed that Dockwrath's character did not stand high, and that a young clerk employed by Sir Joseph by the name of John Kennaby was far to be preferred. But Miriam loved Dockwrath, not Kennaby, and she married him. Though now, after many years, she found that it was far from easy to be soft and tender towards Samuel Dockwrath.
I'm very sorry about it, Samuel. Truly I am.
Yes, and I'll make her sorry too. You see if I don't. Ungrateful, she calls me. Heavens! Didn't I pay her the rent as it fell to you? What more should I have done? Go down on my knees each time she uttered a civil word to me.
But she said at the start that the letting of the fields might not be permanent.
She never said so to me. And nothing was written to that effect. I've been cheated, Miriam, and I'm entitled to some redress. I'll be in the office.
Oh, but I thought you'd finished for the day.
Oh, this isn't work. This is a personal investigation.
I have already referred to the controversial nature of the codicil to Sir Joseph Mason's will. The sum of £2,000 set aside for young Miriam Usbeck. That in itself had created some surprise. But it was about Orley Farm that especial disquiet had arisen. Particularly, of course, in the mind of Sir Joseph's elder son, who had been overlooked in favour of the half-brother Lucius. A case had been brought, but Lady Mason's evidence, as well as her character and repute, proved conclusive, and the contentious codicil was declared to be valid.
Well, 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 well. Miriam! Miriam, come here!
Samuel Dockwrath, for his part, had seen no reason at the time to question the codicil's validity. He had never liked Lady Mason, but had benefited from the two fields and from Miriam's £2,000. And though his pride had been inclined to rebel against Lady Mason's patronage, self-interest had won the day. Now, however, he was angry and intent on revenge.
Miriam?
What is it?
I want you to pack my things. I'm going away for a while.
Miriam looked from her husband to the opened trunk nearby and the papers that were scattered on the floor. These, chiefly, were legal documents that had belonged to her father. She had never read them. At one time, indeed, she had thought of burning them. But Dockwrath had forbidden her.
What have you found?
Well, you think I should tell you, eh? You think I can trust you not to go hurrying off to Orley Farm and inform her ladyship? I found what I wanted. That's all you need to know.
It was 9 o'clock on a nasty, drizzling, cold evening before Samuel Dockwrath reached the Bull in Leeds and seated himself in front of the fire in the commercial room. For a brief while, he was alone. Then...
Now, Moulder, if you'd be good enough...
I won't! It's your box, so I'll not carry an inch further.
Mr. Moulder was short and fat. His eyes were large and bloodshot, and his beardless condition displayed the triple bagging of his chin to full advantage. While his colleagues struggled with the boxes, Mr. Moulder shouted out an order for food and drink and rolled his corpulence towards the fire.
Oh, beaten to it.
Evening.
Yes, sir, and a chilly one, too.
Well, it's not so bad. Sat here.
I don't recall having seen you before, sir.
It's possible you haven't. I think if we'd met that I might have remembered you.
You're aware, I suppose, that this is the commercial room? The commercial room, sir? Set aside for commercial, gentlemen? Are you commercial?
Well, that depends on how you define the term. In this enterprising country of ours, it might be said that all men are commercial, more or less.
Ah, that's true, you know. That's very true.
No, Kent Wise, it's balderdash scammon. Sir, I am a sales representative of Hubbles and Grease of Houndstitch, dealers in tea, coffee and British brandy. Mr. Cantwise here.
I'm in the hardware line. At present, sir, I'm...
We are commercial men.